Brian Jacob.
Hello, good afternoon. I'll be teaching in the fall a course, 631, which is an education policy course. I think it's, the title is probably The Economics of Education. It is a general course in the sense that we'll be covering a variety of education policy topics, mostly K-12, but some higher ed policy as well. I think there are two goals of the course. The course, one is just to familiarize students with some of the kind of most popular contemporary education policy reforms, things like charter schools, high-stakes testing and accountability, No Child Left Behind, teacher certification, teacher performance evaluation and value-added modeling and assessment, race to the top, some higher ed policies, including financial aid policies, and other things going on at the community college level as well. And then at the same time, the second goal is to kind of give students an opportunity to practice utilizing some of the skills they've learned in some of their first year courses, especially the program evaluation, statistics, and economic skills. So I think the course is going to be largely reading kind of empirical studies or kind of summaries of empirical studies on various policies. So we'll do a little bit on kind of history, politics, background of something like charter schools, but the majority of time we'll spend is actually reading studies and talking about, well, what are the impacts of charter schools? Is there evidence that they increase the achievement level of students who attend them? Is there evidence that they actually draw kind of talented students from the traditional public schools and they'll therefore put the traditional public schools in a disadvantage? Is there evidence that even if they don't improve the performance of schools that attend them, they somehow benefit the system by kind of providing competition and causing all schools to improve, whether they're charter or traditional public schools? And so we'll be reading articles that try to provide some evidence on this, critiquing their methodology, but then also discussing the results and how those results, what implications they have for public policies. So kind of learning a little bit about the substantive education policy and then kind of this focus on methodology and program evaluation to some extent. Although it's certainly not a methodological course. There are no problem sets. There are, one or two memos that I usually require, and then kind of a midterm exam, I think one memo, and then one final paper. So those are the generally the requirements that I have. So any questions? Is it currently scheduled to conflict with program evaluation? That doesn't sound good.
In addition, is there any chance of
What time am I teaching this?
Well, it does appear to be that, Monday, Wednesday, 2:30 to 4, as both you and Sue Dinarski's program evaluation. Of course, program evaluation is offered both terms. So.
Yeah, but Dinarski's is an education focus.
Yeah. Yeah, that's.
I see. Okay.
I wonder if there's a way.
I have not noticed that problem before. I will bring that to the attention of whoever can think about it.
Ideally, this should, students would take that Sue's course first and then my course second. So I'm teaching like the undergraduate, one of the undergraduate policy seminars next winter. And I'm happy to switch and teach this MPP class in the winter and then that in the fall. I shift the problem to someone else, which I guess from your perspective is solving it, and from my perspective, it's solving it too. He has multiple perspectives, unfortunately.
You can't put it in one without taking somebody else out of that. that's a thought. We will look into it.
I'm also, I will, so students that are, no, I was saying that I'm actually going to be on leave the following year. So I was about to say, well, students that don't take it next year could take it the following year. That won't work. If you're going to be here for
your leave, how's that?
That's an interesting idea. Okay, any other questions other than scheduling issues? Maybe a little bit, probably not more than a week. I mean, the problem, I always, like a trade-off in teaching this course is always breadth versus depth. I mean, you could, you know, there's whatever, 12 weeks or so in the course, and, you know, even if you just do one topic per week, you can pretty quickly run out of time. So, I mean, my guess is 1 week on early childhood, a few weeks on higher ed, and then the bulk of the time on K-12. But a lot of the issues talked about, I think, will be applicable across levels.
I have a question.
Okay.
Maybe you don't know the answer, but you know more than I do. How does your course compare to David
Cohen? Yeah, so that's a good question. David, I mean, I think they're very complementary. David is a political scientist, and his course focuses, I think there's two differences. One, he focuses a lot more on kind of the history, theory, political politics behind education policies. And he also focuses on a smaller number of policies, but spends more time on them. I think he spends a lot of time on standards and accountability and systemic school reform. He probably spends just three or four topics with, you know, 3 or 4 weeks on each. I do a week or two on a larger set of topics.